Welcome to our new episode of the ICT Talk. Today, we're talking about the future of voice AI in customer communication. We'll dive into the role of LLMs, what's next for voice tech in business, and we will be talking in specific, in particular, about customer conversation relay. Let's jump right in. Joining us is Nathaniel Okenwa. He's developer relations team lead at Twilio. And he's here to unpack the challenges, the opportunities, real-life use cases behind AI-powered voice solutions. Hello, Nathaniel.
Hello. It is a pleasure to be here. Thank you for having me.
My first question is always, can you say in a couple of words, who are you? What's your role, please?
Hello. So my name is Nathaniel Okenwa, like you said. And my title is a team lead for developer relations. And so what that means is I serve a wider team, and we all together work on evangelizing, communicating, teaching developers, engineers, the builders of the world out there about Twilio's APIs and products and how they can build amazing experiences with them.
Yeah. So my next question is actually, what are the biggest challenges that you actually see in the market right now?
Yeah, so as a platform that focuses on how businesses engage with their customers, interact with their customers, the first hurdle was just being able to actually communicate with them. And so at Twilio, we have this big communication platform. So we have SMS, email, WhatsApp, voice calls, you name it, a form of communications, we probably have it. And so we were able to empower businesses to talk to their customers. Then the challenge changed. And the challenge was, how do you make those communications smarter? And so we actually have a CDP, so you can use the information you already know about your customer. And I'm not talking about the dirty information that's maybe taken and collected in creepy ways. I'm talking about the information your customer is giving you that they want you to remember, and being able to use that to have smarter communications with your customers. And then now that sets us up really nice for this next world, which is, how do we give that amazing personalized experience at huge scale? And this kind of leads us to where we're talking about today, because I think AI is one of the tools that can help us reach that amazing personalization at scale.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned now several things. I want to kind of start, though, by the first question. Again, you said, by helping and your customers, and you talked about actually, the platform, the CDP, to have really that smart connection. Can you tell us a bit more about the technology behind it? What is it? What are the common components? What is actually essential for this seamless integration and then the smart communication, as you said?
Yeah, so I think the three ingredients that go in are the communications, the data, and then from the data, we can also bring in artificial intelligence and some other tools as well. And so when I think about the communications piece, that's the bits that we all know and love. So the text messages, the SMS, the email inbox, all of those things. And then when I talk about data, we think about the CDP, because when you interact with website, an app, there are so many different pieces of information that you are giving that company. Let's say you go and order a pair of shoes from your favorite running store. That running store now knows what shoe size you prefer to wear. Maybe you have a specific cushioning that you enjoy. That running company now knows you like that specific cushioning. And they could decide to just not care about it, but it can be really, really useful the next time you go on that website to have right at the top of the page the cushioned pair of shoes in your right size. That's the experience we want. That's data that you want the companies, the businesses you're interacting with to remember about you, so that you can have that personalized experience.
Yeah.
And then taking that further, with the interactions, maybe when things aren't necessarily going great. How can we resolve that really quickly with the interactions, the history of interactions that you've had with us so far? How can we solve those problems quicker? And these are some of the things that we can do with those sets of tools.
Yeah. You did publish in just recently the State of Customer Engagement Report. And in it, it is a number that I would like to bring up because it's kind of goes with the data topic. There is 81% of companies still rely on third-party data. But how can they shift more effectively to first-party data to significantly enhance the digital customer experience and actually, knowing that customer?
Yeah, exactly. So that's one of the things that a CDP allows you to do. So it allows you to take the data that you are generating across different devices, not devices, but different applications, different touch points with your user. So let's go back to this running shoe example. You might have a running shoe app. You might have a running shoe website. Customers may decide to call in and speak to the running shoe contact center. These are all interaction points. When a person purchases a shoe, when a person decides they're looking at a different shoes, they have a couple of different options, they're not sure which one they pick. These are all things that are happening on your site, and you don't need to necessarily go out and buy all of this data, which is going to come with a lot of things that you don't really want to know about your customer. Your customer doesn't want you to know about them. But by using first-party data that they give you, you can then still give that hyper-personalized experience without crossing over into the kind of gray zone of understanding like where your data is actually coming from, what data has been given to you, and so on and so forth.
Yeah. You mentioned now several times the CDP platform. Just maybe one step back to explain what technological requirements is actually needed for this like unified scattered data. I mean, you mentioned CDP, but typically people talk about CRM, ERP, and so on and so on. Can you give us a bit of a light and explanation behind that or the technology?
Absolutely. So if you think of a CRM is oftentimes where people start to try and solve this problem. So this is a kind of one page where you can write things down about your customer and it gives you this consolidated view. However, oftentimes those CRMs, they're not actually giving you a full view of the customer. You end up still having like a data warehouse where lots of interactions with your customer are. You end up having lots of interactions that maybe happen on your website that go to the analytics page but never make it to your CRM. All of these different pockets or buckets of information all sit in different places, and it becomes very, very hard to consolidate all of those together to actually get a full, complete picture. So what a CDP allows you to do is it allows you to connect and kind of plumb your data, connecting the different sources of your data, so your website, your app, and then sending that to destinations, the data warehouses, the CRM, but then also deciding what data gets sent where. Maybe also adding some compliance to make sure that data, that only data that needs to be collected is collected. Adding also some extra features to make sure that all of that data is in the right formats and goes to the right places and is validated, because it sucks to have a massive warehouse of data and then you find out that data is in some way incorrect or not correctly structured. And so a CDP allows you to do all of that at scale really, really easily, really, really quickly. So that's what a CDP does. It allows you to connect different sources of data, different destinations of data, but then also because you've got all of that flowing, it allows you to consolidate all of these different places where data lives into one, we call it golden profile of your customer.
Wow, that sounds good. Yes. I wanted to bring up another name. It's like this unified profile. You mean? The consolidated cross-channel customer data. It's really exactly. To understand your one, giving you the 360 view on that one customer.
Precisely. So the Unified Profile is this product that does this, that combines all of this data that's been flowing through your CDP from all of these different sources to give you this one view that you can then use really intelligently.
I mentioned in the introduction as well the conversation relay. How does that now support business in this area? Or can you tell us more about that, please, the solution?
Yeah. So LLMs come along. I still remember when ChatGPT was first launched. Yeah. And straight away, we could see on our platform, people were trying to build AI voice interactions. So being able to speak to an LLM over the phone. And that's actually very hard. There are so many different pieces of the puzzle. Oftentimes when we think about human interaction, the conversation we are having right now, there's a lot of things that our brains are really intelligent about doing that we may not notice. If, for example, you start talking and I interrupt you, you understand that I've interrupted you. You may stop talking, you may listen, you may only reply to a certain amount of context. We also have amazing speech recognition. Maybe if we go to a place with a strong Norwegian or Scottish accent, we might struggle. But for the most part, we are really, really good at understanding speech. We are really good at understanding speech in certain contexts. Quite a few things. And so being able to implement all of this in AI was not easy to do. So there were a lot of things we had to learn. So you have to handle, like, you need to have good speech recognition. You need to be able to handle interruptions, detect when an interruption is happening. You need to have great text to speech. That is all happening lightning fast. And there's a layer of orchestration and managing all of this that becomes very, very complex. And businesses like our running shoe, like a retail company, a banking company, like these companies want to focus on what they do for their customers. They don't want to all turn into AI companies that are actually building the entire AI infrastructure, right? They could be AI powered, but they don't want to do that. And Twilio, we sit in a very, very unique position where we can create the way that people can use AI and use these powerful tools in a really easy way so that they can focus on their business logic. So what Conversation Relay ultimately does is it gives businesses an easy way to deploy AI LLMs over the phone, over voice, really, really quickly. So we have a technology stack. If you're really interested, you should check it out. It uses WebSockets and it kind of fires you utterances and then you can reply back. And the great thing about it is that you can bring your LLM of choice. So you might go with one of the very, very popular ones. You might go with an open source one. You might train your own with your company's data built in. You can choose how you do that. We will handle the voice.
Okay, I see. You just answered my next question. That would have been how flexible are companies actually in choosing it in the LLM? Is that how important is that actually for companies? What do you see on the market? What's your feedback that you get from companies and customers to choose the LLM as well that's behind it?
I think that we are in a time of great change. So there are some companies that have the resources, have the knowledge to go full in on AI, building their own AI stacks, training their own AI models, building a lot of infrastructure. We have products that serve those customers. So if somebody is a quite advanced user, they can use what we call our Twilio Streams to just handle raw audio. Then we have some customers who don't necessarily want to build a whole AI platform infrastructure using sound, but they have an LLM, they have it trained on their data or linked to their data, and they want to own it. They maybe want to keep it in-house, on-premise. Maybe in some way, shape or form, they can use Conversation Relay, which makes it really, really easy for them to connect whatever they're using, LLM using, to voice and to the voice channels that they already know and love. And then also one step further, there are some people who are hands off. They want low code tools. They want no code tools. We also have tools for those customers as well to be able to still build amazing interactions. Mm-hmm. So what am I saying? I'm saying overall that different companies have different requirements and they're coming to us with different levels of knowledge about AI, different levels of investment in what they want to build, whether it's time or resources. Mm-hmm. And what we kind of really focus on is giving those customers the tools that they need. Like sometimes a customer's going to need all the bells and whistles. And sometimes they just want the raw audio streamed right to their server so they can handle it themselves. Mm-hmm. Conversation Relay is a nice place in the middle where we do a lot to make it easy for them, but we still give them the independence to bring their own LLMs, bring their own tools to connect to these voice interactions. Mm-hmm.
Can you maybe share some real world example use cases with us where you see the greatest values for companies?
Yeah, so I think many of us have called this a contact center, and then you have the press one for this, press two for that. It's funny because I work in a company that empowers some of that, and sometimes it still feels so painful. I think it feels especially painful for me because I know how much better it could be. I know that the technology exists to make this experience better. And what I see as a step forward is a lot of these very, very simple interactions, some of this triaging, sending people, connecting people to the right places. Maybe some people, you just want to get a quick answer to a question. They don't have something complex they want to deal with. Like these are going to be things that now you're going to be able to have a natural conversation with an AI agent to be able to answer those questions, to be able to connect you to the right human. All of these different things will make those interactions we have over the phone way more efficient and feel much better. I'm sure you've had an experience where you got off the phone and you're like, that felt good, which feels so rare sometimes. What we want is that good feeling to be more common. So a great place I see this is different companies are going to be using it in different ways. We already see people using it for customer service, people using it for pre-sales, booking appointments. So many different ways we're actually seeing it. I think the versatility is kind of very wide ranging because there are so many different ways we use phones. And so there are so many different ways we can implement tools like Conversation Relay.
Another question would be for me to really understand Conversation Relay is kind of how does it differ from other AI voice solutions? Maybe you can dive more into that.
Yeah, I mean, it's very tricky because like there are so many different AI voice solutions. But what I will focus on with Conversation Relay is the fact that it's built on Twilio's communication platform. So Twilio has the best communication platform. I can say this quite proudly. We are leading in that regard. And so we have all of the infrastructure to already connect with customers over voice at scale. That's something we do very, very well. Remember, we have Segment. Twilio has an amazing way of collecting, of helping you to collect the data that you need on your customers. Now, you pair these two things together, you already have the ingredients for a great AI experience over the phone because you have this data that you've collected, you've validated compliantly, and then now you can use that to actually interact and give that personalized touch over the phone. So one of the ways that I think that we really differ from a lot of other places is people can get started immediately. We have stories of customers who run a hack day where they say, let's see what we can do, and actually just deploy a finished, they don't necessarily push it to production the same day, but they build out a finished prototype of using Conversation Relay in a couple of hours, in a couple of days. And the speed with which you can build, the speed with which you can iterate with Conversation Relay is, I think, something that sets it apart.
You're mentioning the speed. How do you actually, I should rephrase the question. I hear the speed is often what kind of gives like for employees a bit of the struggle and to say how do you actually take your employees on to motivate them to join the journey on AI and voice AI, whether it is speech or voice. But is it training? You mentioned it before. Is it training? Is it how do you really kind of motivate them and take away the fear or maybe the worries they have?
Yeah, I think first of all, worries, they come from a legitimate place, right? So I think it's important sometimes to just address those worries. It's also important to make sure that you have a very clear mission of what you're trying to achieve with AI. And if you communicate that mission to your team and they're on board, they will try and also help you succeed in that mission, because oftentimes your success is your team's success. So those are a couple of things. And then also, yes, training is a vital part of it. I think, though, one thing which I am excited about is tools like Conversation Relay take some of these very, very complex things to build and make them much more straightforward and connect with the tools and technologies that people already know. So, for example, for Conversation Relay, we use a very, very popular technology called WebSockets. WebSockets are everywhere. Over this call right now, WebSockets are being used to facilitate this call. This is a technology that is completely everywhere in the industry. And now, you know WebSockets? You can build AI voice interactions. So lots of companies like Twilio are using technology to connect the new technologies to the stacks we already know and love and already are experts in. So when you talk about training, always more training is good, but I think it's part of the job of companies like us or to create these technologies and facilitate them in ways that they are easy to consume, easy to learn, easy to use for folks who don't necessarily want to spend their whole day working on AI and want to focus on their business logic.
Yeah. And how do you respond to questions from your customers that ask whether AI is all the ethical security questions and at the same time is like the faults they make AI? We all know about the typical challenges with latency, hallucination or real-time processing. Is that something you still often hear?
Yeah, I mean, first of all, this is a new space. So latency, real-time processing, even though I'd like to think like Twilio, we are on the leading edge of a lot of these. Every couple of days, there's a new demo online that makes us go, wow, like, and pushes us to go even further, to work even faster. So the space is moving so fast and I can barely keep up with our internal blog posts and internal documentation on these things. So it's part of our job to constantly be moving and learning with this. With that also comes trust and safety. At Twilio, we pride ourselves on being a trusted platform and we care about maintaining trust. Like, that trust is our number one currency. And in order to maintain that trust, we also apply those lens with our tools on AI. So every tool that we use that uses AI has a nutrition label. If you go on our website, on our documents, you can see it. And it tells you everything that's going on in that particular tool. So it'll tell you, is there a human in the loop? Like, what kind of tools are we using with AI in order to make it happen? And I think like having things like the AI nutrition facts to tell you a little bit about what's happening underneath, to tell you a little bit about all the other tools and APIs we're using, so that when someone signs up to use our AI tools, they know exactly what they are signing up for and they can decide what they want to use.
Yeah. It's again, communication, transparency. Absolutely.
Exactly.
Yeah. How do you see we're kind of going a bit into the future? How do you see customer communication evolving over the next, well, years, if I may already go that far with AI-based voice solution?
Well, it's really interesting because I think like I may answer the question and refer to years. It may take months.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. But I, so one thing I think about is when you, for example, have a local butcher shop, I have a local coffee shop I go to, and I'm at this point where I have such a great relationship with the owners and the workers there that I walk in, they say, "Hi, Nathaniel, do you know my name?" They often say the usual. I say, yes, they know that I would like a latte to go. I may talk to them about books. They know the kind of books I like because it's a bookshop as well. And they may shout out, "Oh, by the way, this new book came out from your favorite author, Brandon Sanderson." And we'll have a conversation about it. That is such a personalized experience that in our minds is often limited to the small bookstore, the small coffee shop. However, what I do see is that some of these tools are going to allow us to give that level of personalization or something close to it at a huge scale. So our expectations as users, as consumers, are going to change. We're going to expect that level of personalization, that level of being the most important customer in the room every time from all of our brands. And I think that as users get exposed to more and more of what's possible, users' expectations are going to change. And trust me, businesses are going to have to follow. We're going to have to make every customer feel like that valued person walking into the small local coffee shop. And I think that these tools, being able to use all of these tools together, allows us to give those personal connections, those personal interactions at a scale that no one has been able to achieve before.
Yeah. You actually answered already my next question. It would have been the personal question. What's your idea of the perfect and great customer experience and the customer interaction? But absolutely.
Well, yep. So, I mean, I spoke about a physical interaction, but I think I also think about online interaction. So I love when, for example, online, I'll give you an example. My mother passed away not too long ago, and Mother's Day came around. And I became very aware of which companies. So companies will send you emails going like, "It's Mother's Day. Like, hello." I became very hyper aware of which companies said, "If you do not want to receive marketing about Mother's Day, for whatever reason, click this button at the bottom." And I clicked quite a few of those buttons. Okay. And immediately, some of those brands have like stuck out to me as brands that care about personalizing their communications to me, right? And I love that idea. There is a pet shop actually that I know of in the States, and when you eventually you order your pet food from them on a monthly basis, and unfortunately pets have much shorter lifespans than humans, and there is gonna come a day when your order of pet food comes, you're heartbroken because your pet has just passed away, and you send it back. And what that company says is, "We're going to take a full refund," and they're going to send you flowers for your pet. That personal level of interaction makes you go, "Wow, I want," like, I, when you get another pet, which you're likely to do, are you going to go anywhere else? And so I really think that those interactions that go past, they're not just there to sell a product or just there to tell you how you can kind of do something more that's going to increase their bottom line, but actually are built to make you feel valued, to make those interactions feel amazing. Those are the ones that I'm excited. Those are the ones that I care about. Those are my dream digital interactions.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm so sorry to hear that about your mother. My condolences, but thank you for sharing that story with us. And makes it really kind of, we can feel the difference. And actually, at the end, not difference anymore of a digital and a physical interaction. Absolutely. My last question would be now, actually, what is it that customers can expect from Twilio and in the future? And what are further maybe innovations that are kind of supporting absolutely that, well, that great customer communication?
Yeah, I think the thing that I am most excited about is some of our branded communication options that are coming out, right? So this is quite a big problem out there. I spoke about trust earlier, where there's spam callers, people impersonate companies, people impersonate, and it's becoming a bit frustrating because we want to be able to trust the text messages we receive. When the phone rings, we see a random number we've never seen. We have to make a decision. Are we going to answer that call? Are we not going to answer that call? We don't know how important that phone call is. And so what customers are going to start seeing, what users are going to start seeing in the wild, is they're going to start seeing branded calling, verified calling. So when you receive a phone call, you receive it from a specific organization that has been verified by a trusted partner. So you'll see the logo, you'll see a nice trust logo next to it. So next time you receive a phone call from your health provider, it may say name of hospital, and it could say underneath it's calling you, you know, oh, I had a test there a week ago. I know to answer this phone call, it's important. As opposed to just having a random call, you're not sure what it's going to be. And I think building this extra layer of trust on these devices that feel so personal and connected to us is something that I think end users are going to be very excited about. It's going to be rolling out. And what's funny is they may not know Twilio is helping to facilitate that, especially the end users who often don't know we exist. But I'm really excited to, I'm looking forward to when some of my friends and family start experiencing that and telling me about it. And I get to go on a whole spiel about how we help make that happen.
Well, thank you very much for sharing your insight with us. And really, I do look forward how technology and all those tools are actually enabling companies to a new level of customer experience, keeping in mind, as you said, the trust and transparency has a great, great value. And then for the interaction, customer loyalty at the end. Thank you very much, Nathaniel, for the great conversation. And thank you for being part of the ICT Talk.
It is a pleasure. Thank you.